In recent years, China has become the world's leading producer of greenhouse gases, having surpassed the U.S. in total, though not per capita emissions. China is also the global leader in green energy technology production, wind turbines, solar panels, transmission lines, and more, as it moves ahead quickly to modernize its energy infrastructure. So while it's building a large number of new coal-fired power plants, the Chinese government is also providing massive subsidies to its green energy sector. Those subsidies have drawn sharp criticism from the U.S. and other countries, who say they create an uneven and unfair playing field in the international trade of green technology. Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhu spoke with Dan Esty, professor of environmental law and policy at Yale University, and co-author with Andrew Winston of the book Green to Gold, How Smart Companies Use Environmental Strategy to Innovate, Create Value, and Build Competitive Advantage. Esty says that while subsidies to promote the development of specific industries are illegal because they can distort trade, there are some exceptions within the World Trade Organization to promote the greater good, such as environmental protection. But beyond the traditional culture of national competition, Esty acknowledges that a policy of international cooperation could be a more effective means to develop green energy technology and rein in greenhouse gases that threaten all nations across the planet.
China has a major pollution problem and has become the largest greenhouse gas emitter in the world, overtaking the United States a couple of years ago. So there is a big issue around China's harm to the world ecologically. And I think China's become quite sensitive to that. And as a result, has made a strategic choice in a way that only an authoritarian government can to invest strategically in the clean tech industries. And they put a lot of effort into building out a wind power business, a solar power business. They're investing a lot in new transmission lines, in storage, in new battery technology, and in electric cars. So they've made a very significant push toward trying to be a clean energy of the future leader. And they have done this with a variety of things. Some of it is helping industries get started, and some of it is outright subsidization. And there is now beginning to be questions raised because China is having quite a bit of success. They've got a great strength in engineering and good scientists, and they're coming up with some breakthroughs. And there is a possibility that China will be the leader of the clean tech industries of the future because of this strategic push by the government. The rules of international trade that are embodied in something called the Global Agreement on Tariffs and Trade provide that most subsidies are not permitted, are not acceptable under the rules of international trade. And one country can complain about the subsidies of another, and if the World Trade Organization finds they're in place, can order them to be removed. But there is some exceptions. There are some exceptions to that general principle. And there are subsidies allowed for certain favored activities. And historically, at least, subsidies to promote environmental protection were in what's known as the green box, the accepted category of subsidies, because they had a broader public purpose. So China's claim will be that these are acceptable subsidies, good subsidies, because they're helping promote an important public purpose, in this case, better environmental protection.
To level the playing field, why can't the U.S. provide subsidies to domestic green tech industries? Because that's what a lot of people here are saying is needed to get over this hump of trying to compete with, you know, with fossil fuels, which get a lot of subsidies of their own.
The best approach to creating an incentive for technology development, particularly clean technology development, is to make people pay for the harm they cause, to pay for their pollution, to pay for their greenhouse gas emissions. But the effort to get that kind of a pay structure in place in the last Congress has fallen apart, and it looks like the next Congress may not as well step up to the issue of making people pay for their fossil fuel emissions and for their greenhouse gases that are leading to climate change. So as a second best policy, it would make sense to try and provide some structure of incentives to get people to invest more money into creating these new technologies. And what's critical for our country to have a more innovation-oriented approach to environmental protection and really to move toward a clean energy future, and it may well be that the only politically viable approach is some structure of subsidies. And, of course, the U.S. has put some money into clean technology. Part of the stimulus was focused on clean technology, but a good bit of that's now been spent. And the question is, how do we continue to drive the incentives for a clean energy future? And frankly, that's an important thing for us to be bearing down on in Washington. And I don't see a really serious political debate over how we're going to ensure not just our environmental future, but more importantly, our economic future. Because if we give up leadership in clean technology, this could be the next big economic engine, and it would be unfortunate to let the Chinese drive it rather than have the U.S. be in the leadership role.
How about global cooperation? I mean, if we're talking about, you know, climate change being a global problem, would it be good if all these different countries could have some kind of collaboration? Is that completely impossible?
No, you're absolutely right that climate change is an inescapably global problem. Those greenhouse gas emissions go up into the atmosphere and blanket the Earth. So the only way to move forward is in a very cooperative spirit and to understand that no country can solve this problem alone. And frankly, when we get breakthrough technologies, we do want to disseminate them as widely as possible so that everyone can bring down their emissions. So I am a big believer in collaboration in response to this. But I think the most important thing is to engage the private sector. And frankly, we want to engage the private sector across the United States, from big companies to back-of-the-garage entrepreneurs. But really, we'd like to engage the private sector and the entrepreneurial spirit all over the world.
That was Dan Esty, professor of environmental law and policy at Yale University. He is the author of Green to Gold, How Smart Companies Use Environmental Strategy to Innovate, Create Value, and Build Competitive Advantage.